God is up ahead. Amen. He's leading us. Just follow him. He's got good things in store yet. Hallelujah. Again, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Yep. Don't listen to the lie. Don't believe the facade. You know, the theatrics of our day. You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is an actor, a stage player, role-playing. We're not hypocrites, right? We have the substance, which is Christ. We're in Christ. He is our life. We walk with him. Hallelujah. Now, it could possibly be that on the political stage, there are a few actors. Maybe many. But the truth will prevail. And the Lord will be glorified in all the earth. His name is great, greatly to be praised. Yes, the day is coming when every knee will bow. That's right, before Jesus Christ and declare him as Lord. You know, when you're born again, you become hungry and thirsty for God's presence, for his word, for the truth. When the light comes on, amen, when Christ comes to dwell within your heart, you become hungry for God. Amen. You become like a little baby crying out for milk, right? Just, and you can't seem to get enough, right? And so that's a sign that Christ is in you, is that there will be a desire that is God-given. Amen. His desires will become yours. Hallelujah. So we pray, even as we've been on this journey for a while, God, make your will my desire. You ever pray that way? Lord, make your will my desire. And, you know, and the enemy is trying to get us involved in things that are unproductive, that are basically a distraction, a weight, if you will, something to bog you down in your journey. God wants you to cast off anything that would bog you down in your race, that you can finish your course with joy. You remember John the Baptist, his mother's name was Elizabeth, and she poured her heart out to the Lord, and she was barren. And John's father, Zacharias, was a priest. He ministered in the temple before the Lord, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him and freaked him out. And that was the modern day interpretation of that, right? But, I mean, you know, all of a sudden he's like, oh my, I'm in trouble or whatever, you know, what did I do? But he had some good news for him. He says, your wife is about to bear a child. You're going to have a son. You're going to call his name John. Amen? And the title of today's message is, what does true greatness look like? What does it mean to be great? In Luke chapter 1, verse 13, this is our text. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great or big in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. How many here want to be great? Somebody say amen. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing to want to be great. I believe God has placed that ability in each one of us to be great in his sight. And you know, according to the world's standards, if you were to look at John, right, he was a rough-looking dude. And he used to eat bugs, you know. Right? Locusts and wild honey and thyme in the desert. And so he was a kind of a Grizzly Adams of the day, if you will. But the Lord said that he would be great, great in his sight. And sometimes the things that we think are great are not necessarily great in the eyes of the Lord. And so we need to know what God says greatness looks like, all right? So we can truly, you know, conform to that image. And we know the image that we need to conform to. And the person we want to be like when we grow up is Jesus, right? Jesus, indeed, he is the great one. He's our example in every way. He was the perfect man. So if you want to look at perfection, you want to know what perfection looks like, you certainly don't want to look at me, right? You don't want to look at yourself either. You want to look to Jesus. He's the perfect one. So the question really is it wrong to desire greatness? You know, in the eyes of the world, again, being successful in business, you know, could be a sign of being great in this world, or being famous. So many want to be famous. You know, if I could just get my name on the cover of the Rolling Stones. That goes back a few years. You know, but people are looking for a sense of purpose. You know, and why am I here? Is it just to exist from week to week and check out someday? I think God has something much better in store for us than sometimes we realize. And we need to understand also, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Brother Wayne does a great Sunday school class. If you want to get on that, it's on Zoom at 9 o'clock. But we were talking about greatness and what does that look like? And again, it's not what we often think it is. Being famous, you know, maybe being liked and accepted by others. How many have ever fallen into that trap? And maybe in some time in your life you did, maybe not now. After you grow up, amen, you realize that it's not all about being liked by everybody. It's about being truthful. It's about living according to what is authentic, being real. Okay, and to be yourself. You know, the devil wants to take your identity away, who you are, and he wants to make you just a cookie cutter, copy of what he wants you to be. And yet God made us all unique with certain attributes and talents, abilities that nobody else has. And, you know, there are a lot of people that may look similar to one another, but they aren't. And, you know, a person is known not by their looks, but by their character, right? Eventually, if you hang out with people long enough, you're going to find out who they are and whether or not they can be trusted. But true greatness, again, is not what the world says it is, but what God says it is. So in order to be great in the sight of the Lord, we've got to forsake our own idea of what greatness is. And we also have to understand that, guys, if you want to be something, you have to go through something. Many people do not understand that there's a price and there's a procedure for being great in the sight of the Lord. But God's way to greatness, it's a process, isn't it, that he takes us through. And the fruit of it will be eternally kept. In other words, what we bear fruit in this life according to the will of God, he gives us the ability to bear fruit unto eternal life, something that will last, that will never fade or perish. Now, Noah was famous, and he was considered to be great in God's sight because he did what? He obeyed God, and he moved with godly fear to the preparing of the ark, to the saving of his family. So he protected his family from the destruction of his day. So faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith, our confidence in God, and what he says, we believe. Moses was great because he humbled himself and he identified with the people of God, even to the point where he would be persecuted. You know, he identified himself with the people who were poor and unpopular. But he was willing to suffer affliction with them instead of enjoying the passing pleasures of sin, because he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked forward to the reward, it says in Hebrews 11, 25 and 26. How about Joseph? He was great because he continued to follow God, even when he was unfairly treated, rejected, and imprisoned. See, sometimes we think being great means to have it all together, always have a smooth, easy life, having wealth, having fame, having a lot of friends on your Facebook page. No. We need to know what God says is great. You and I, if we belong to Him, if we're born of His Spirit, we are being developed by God. Our inner being must be developed in us before God can accomplish His will through us. God wants to know that He has, once again, user-friendly individuals, people that are in a position that can handle the greater riches of the kingdom. A lot of times when we're young, we're in a hurry to grow up and we want to take on certain responsibilities or have certain privileges, often before we're really ready for them. You know what I'm talking about. And the world seems like they're pushing this narrative that you need to be in a hurry to grow up. And they're trying to make adults out of our children before they're ready for that. So the first thing that we need to understand is that true greatness starts with self-discipline. Self-discipline. If you can't get control of yourself, then you're not going to be great in the sight of the Lord, period. But the good news is that self-discipline or self-control is a grace or a fruit of God's Spirit. So the Lord will give you the power to control yourself so that you can position yourself to do the will of God. So it's not like I'm just in my own willpower trying to be self-controlled, because you can do quite well in some ways in your own willpower. Some people do better than others. But in order for us to accomplish God's will for our lives, it's going to require us leaning on, depending on God's ability, God's power to do so. We can't do it in our own human ability or in our own soul power. So it says in Luke 1:15 that John, it says, he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He had to take what was called a Nazarite vow. And we see that in Numbers 6:1-21. And there's three provisions in this Nazarite vow. Number one, he would neither eat or drink of the vine of the grapevine, the fruit of the grapevine, including vinegar, wine, grape juice, grapes, or raisins. Two, he would not cut his hair. In the 60s, that would have been just wonderful, right? Number three, he would not go near or touch a dead body. So that was a Nazarite vow. Some took a temporary vow, 30 days, maybe up to 60 days. But some had a lifetime commitment to this. John was one of them. Samson was one of them. He took the vow. We see that in Judges 13. You can look it up later. And the problem is that even though Samson had made this vow and he had great physical strength that God gave him, he was a moral weakling. So he was externally strong and powerful, but internally he was weak. And guys, how many know that it's more important to be strong inwardly than outwardly? Because if you're not standing up on the inside, you're not going to stand up very long where on the outside. So self-discipline is required in order to accomplish the will of God. 1 Corinthians 9:25. And everyone who competes for the prize, here it is again, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we, talking about the church, for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, Paul said, and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So during the time of preparation before the race, the athlete is free to do whatever they want. But a wise athlete understands that I have to watch what I do, what I eat, what I take into my body, right? I have to be disciplined in my training so that I'll be prepared for the race. Come on, somebody, right? So God wants us likewise in the spirit to be disciplined, to be prepared, to be filled with His power, with His ability, so that we can overcome the world and finish our course with joy. God wants us to finish well, not just begin well. Some people begin well, but they don't finish their race. How many here want to be great? If you want to be great, you're going to have to humble yourself and rely upon God's ability to enable you to be someone you can't be apart from Him. So if I want to succeed in doing the will of God, I've got to be careful not to allow these things called weights. Well, weight is maybe a good thing, but it's not the right thing for me. All right? Some television viewing is not bad, all right? Would you agree with me? You know, for some people, it's better just to get rid of their television altogether. Okay? But the thing is this, is that if that thing, that liberty that I allow in my life is causing me to stumble or to become bogged down in my race, if it's distracting me away from God's divine purpose and destiny for me, it's not worth it. It's a weight that has to be cast off. Some of these athletes, you know, during the Grecian Games would literally run naked. You know? Because they didn't want anything to hinder wind resistance or whatever. So it must have been a sight. But you know, spiritually speaking, what happens is the sin is an obvious one to God's people. Would you agree? Most of us say, yeah, I know I shouldn't do that. Or I shouldn't do that, right? But what about the weights? What about the hindrances? What about the things that we do allow that in and of themselves, they're not sinful, but they are something that hinders us, that prevents us from running this race at full capacity? Because it's those who finish well, amen, that receive the prize. So we have to ask the question before the Lord and ask Him to sort out what's good for you and what's not. Are you willing to discipline yourself in that way? To deny yourself some temporary things so that you can focus on eternal things and finish well. So if your intent is to finish your race like Paul did, he had to deny himself even to the point of severe persecution for the cause of Christ, with the goal in mind that someday the crown of righteousness awaits me because I've kept the faith. I fought the good fight. Amen. That's what we want to do. Proverbs 16 and verse 32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." It's talking about a self-controlled individual. Someone that can control their emotions and keep their emotions in check. I don't know about you, but there's times when I get riled up in my emotions. And I have to rely upon the grace of God in that time, amen, to be able to control myself and not do what I may be thinking about doing. Or saying what I may think about saying. God gives us the ability by His Spirit to be self-controlled. Okay? And if you can't rule your own spirit, if you can't take charge of yourself, because God does give us responsibility over ourselves. You can do whatever you want with your body. You do have a freedom of choice. But there are consequences for choosing something that's contrary to the will of God for you. So if we want to be successful, if we want to be great, first thing we need is self-discipline. And secondly, self-discipline requires sacrifice, guys. This is where sometimes we want to get off the race, get out of the race. Hebrews 11:24, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Doing what, again? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I don't know how you feel about the way things are right now, but are you sensing that it's becoming more and more less popular, should I say, to become a follower and be a follower of Jesus? And to stand up and speak up for the truth. But Moses understood that there was something of greater value in joining himself to God's people and to God's mission. Even though this guy had it all, everything that he could have possibly wanted in this world, he understood that what God had, his favor, his blessing upon his people Israel. Amen. So he was willing to step down from his position in Egypt to join himself to basically the slaves and those who were disregarded in the eyes of the world. But guess what? They were the apple of God's eye. They were the affection. Amen. His affection was upon his people. And the same thing is true to us, guys. We need to understand that we may not be popular in this world, but that doesn't matter. I would rather have favor with God than favor with people. Amen? Because everybody is going to see Jesus someday. Every knee is going to bow to him someday. Amen? Every tongue, even those who mock now, they're not going to mock then. Those who scorn now will not scorn then. When they see him, hallelujah, in that day, they're going to bow. And they're going to confess Jesus Christ. Amen? So you and I today choose to serve the Lord, to partner with God in his mission, in his will, in his purpose for our lives. And we declare him today as Lord of all. Amen? We're not waiting for that day. We say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Lord. Amen? And every knee is going to bow to you. Self-discipline requires sacrifice. So Moses was ready to do whatever it took, amen, to accomplish his mission in life. And you also need to understand is that God looks upon the heart, doesn't he? So whatever we commit ourselves to do, we need to ask ourselves this question. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I do what I do? That would be the motivation test of my heart. Do I serve the Lord for just perks or benefits? Do I serve the Lord to be seen of men? Or do I serve the Lord out of a pure heart, a heart that is motivated by his love? I serve the Lord because I love Jesus and I love people. Amen? So a pure motivation is very important because some people serve Christ for profit. We can call them paycheck preachers. You know, if there's no paycheck, they're not going to be preaching. Amen? God wants a pure motivation, a pure desire. He wants us to serve him with the right motives. When you've been forgiven much, you love much. When God has been good to you, amen, you want to respond back with thanksgiving, praise, come on somebody, amen, and committing your body back to him as a living sacrifice. So that God can then fill you with the Spirit and raise you up and use you, amen, as an ambassador to represent him. His desire is that every one of us in this room would be a representative of him. That we would all serve the Lord. The reason why we come and we listen to instruction is so that we can be equipped for the work of the ministry. Isn't that right? When you teach somebody else, you're hoping that they'll take it. And they'll apply it in their lives. And not only apply it in their own lives, but they'll take what they received and find somebody else to share it with. God wants us to reproduce. He wants us to bear fruit. And so we need to be faithful stewards over that investment he's made in us. By that gift, that ability he's given us. Amen? Be faithful stewards of that. Look for opportunity. Practice on one another. It's very important, guys, that we understand the sacrifices involved in this, because if we just want to live a comfortable life, then you can do that. But in doing so, you can miss out on the purpose of God, the mission, the will of God for your life. Serving the Lord isn't always easy, but I'll tell you one thing, it's joyful. It's worth it. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. I'm just thrilled that I get to serve the Lord. When I got born again, hallelujah, and I was born again in my bedroom, hallelujah, and radically saved, I just desired to talk to people about Jesus, and I started really freaking people out because it's what happened to him. That's not the same Keith we used to know. But I just had Jesus in me and I wanted to share Jesus. If you got something good, amen, you want to share it. And so I just started telling people about Jesus. And it's been an incredible journey. And God has allowed me, you know, to minister all these years now. But not because I just wanted something from God, but because I got to and I wanted to, and I love to see someone else blessed. How about you? You know, when you've invested and you're pouring your heart out into somebody and you see a life that is being changed because you have made yourself available to be a vessel for God to use, that's a joy in the present. Amen? And we'll leave the rest of that up to God. Amen? Whatever happens later, whatever other rewards we may receive someday, the greatest reward is to see Jesus. Amen? The greatest reward is to hear Jesus say, "Well done. You did well. You finished your course. You kept the faith. You didn't throw in the towel. You didn't give up. Even when it got hard, even when it was difficult, even when there was opposition, even when your friends despised you and cast you out, you still stood in there and you were faithful to me. Now you enter in to the joy of your Lord." John was great because it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, even in the womb. And he was energized. He was motivated by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, some Christians, they possess the Holy Spirit, but they will not allow the Holy Spirit to possess them. That's the difference. In Galatians 5:25, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit." So you can live in the Spirit, but yet not walk in the Spirit. And so you can possess the Holy Spirit, but the question is, does God have possession of me? Am I being led by His Spirit? Am I motivated by the love of God? You know, we have to be willing to yield ourselves to Him. Moses was willing to step down from his lofty position to humble himself and associate with the people of God for a season. Because he saw, you know, that the reward would be eternal for doing so. In other words, he was not going to compromise his eternal for the temporal. The devil will give you all kinds of excuses. Why not? Because he's a thief. He wants to steal from you. He doesn't want you to fulfill the mission of God for your life. So he's going to keep you distracted. He's going to find other things. He's going to offer you things to distract you and keep you preoccupied with vanity and things that don't matter in eternity. And before you know it, you can look back and say, "Where have all the years gone?" And the question is, have I been fruitful? Have I made the most of the opportunity that God gave me? I don't want to waste my life. How about you? So we want to discover the will of God. We want to cast off the weights and the sins and anything that would encumber or hinder us in this race so we can run with perseverance that race, amen, set before us as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. True greatness is a humble servant of the Lord. True greatness is not what the world says. It's not about wealth or fame or looks. It's about obeying the will of God for your life and knowing that God will exalt those who are willing to humble themselves now. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. So what was John's mission? You got to have a mission. You got to know your mission. In order to be great, John knew his mission. His mission was to turn many of the people of Israel to who? To the Lord. He understood. He had to have self-discipline. He had to be committed to the Lord and to his purposes. He had to deny himself certain luxuries and things, amen, so that God could prepare him for his mission. And John was a bright light, and he was the end of the law and the prophets, amen. He was a forerunner of Jesus, the one that said, "Behold, what? The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And John lived a very short life. He died in his 30s, didn't he? And he didn't die a pleasant death either. And yet God said John will be great in the sight of the Lord. John was great, and yet John was beheaded by the world. How many know that John entered into a better resurrection? There's not going to be any sickness or death or murder, amen, or sorrow or tears anymore. The time is coming and the day is coming when the Lord is going to call us, guys. We have a window of opportunity. We have so many days left. Measure your days. Count your days. Like David said, Lord, teach me to number my days, that I may gain a heart of wisdom. He wanted to bear fruit. He wanted to make a difference. How many here want to be great? Then humble yourself, commit yourself to the Lord, to His will, to His purposes. Cut out anything unnecessary in your life. Live a simple life. Let me encourage you just to do that. The disciples, they all wanted to be great, didn't they? They were arguing who was going to be greatest in the kingdom. Well, I get to sit up here with Jesus, you know, at the right hand and the left hand, because I'm great. Jesus said, you want to do that? Hey, that's not a bad thing. It's actually not a bad thing. But in order to do that, in order to ascend a position, amen, in heaven, because I do believe there will be different positions in heaven based upon one's faithfulness. That's another teaching for another day. But it's going to require you to become a servant and to serve others. Get over yourself. Get over your ego. Get over the opinions of men, what they think about you. Humble yourself. Join yourself to Jesus in His will and His mission. Do what God has called you to do in this short time you have, so that you might have treasure in heaven and an abundant welcome from the Lord in that day. If you want to be great in God's sight, humble yourself, submit yourself to Him, and wait on Him. Wait on His timing. Just be faithful and little every day, faithful steps of obedience, and one day God is going to reward you for that. John was great in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. So the disciples were all arguing, didn't they, about who was going to be great. But God said, Jesus said, what? He who is greatest shall become the servant of all. That's completely contrary to the way the world thinks. You know, you look at Washington today. Let's not do that. But you look at what's happening in Washington today. They're all fighting over positions of influence and power and prestige and hanging out with the Joneses. Sorry, Chuck. Yeah. Keeping up with the Joneses. You know, I want to be in that clique. I want to be in the elite club. Thinking that somehow that's going to satisfy you or fulfill you. And yet, there's just never enough. If you noticed, they get this and then they want more and more and more. And it's never enough. Why? Because they're not going to satisfy themselves on earthly things. But if you want to be great, true greatness is not what we think it is, but what God says it is. So Jesus taught us that was following His example. Amen. That means loving and serving others out of a pure heart. In Hebrews 13:13, it says, therefore, let us go forth to Him, speaking of Jesus, outside the camp, bearing His reproach. Are you willing to identify yourself with Jesus? Are you willing to say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus. I am a child of God. Amen. I am a Christian. Are you willing to do that? To identify yourself with Jesus? Remember, Peter had a problem with that, didn't he? When the pressure was on, he wanted to conform. But after he realized that he had denied his Lord, he was broken, he was crushed in his spirit. And he learned a valuable lesson that it wasn't worth it. And he was willing to go all the way. He was converted. And then God positioned him to be a strength to his brethren. You understand, we are called to also step outside, amen, and identify ourselves with him outside the camp. Do you understand that they would take and crucify people outside of the city? They wouldn't put dead bodies in the city. Even the graves were outside the city. But the cross would be outside the city. And he's saying we need to identify ourselves with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. To partner with him in his mission. To live, amen, for eternity. To deny ourselves now. And one day it will be worth it in eternity. Are you hearing that today? You need to see beyond the temporary. And what's happening right now is there's a humbling taking place in America. And a lot of the toys are disappearing and people are wanting. I don't know. I went to the store the other day. I went to two stores that I used to go into. And I'm noticing that the inventory is shrinking. Have you noticed that? The inventory is shrinking everywhere. Things are not the way they used to be in America anymore. You know why? Because God's got his eye upon his people Israel. Amen. He's got his eye on his people, the church. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is humbling his people so he can position us to receive his glory. Amen. So that we can be awakened and be an influencer in society once again. The church has to be humbled before it will be in position to cry out for God to fill them and to enable them, all right, to rise from the dead and be an influence again. I don't see it any other way, guys. We've been warned. We've been told you need to humble yourself. You need to forsake the idols, these other gods, and nobody's listening. And God has been speaking, and he speaks a little louder, doesn't he? And he has to speak a little louder sometimes, and he'll keep getting louder, guys, until the church wakes up. I think people are waking up. There is an awakening. Not just the church, but the people are saying, what is going on? Everything is getting crazy here. Where is a stable place for me? Where can I find stability in this nutty world? And so there's a desire to want to know where I can find refuge. Where I can find peace. Where I can find comfort. And that's a great place for people to be, amen? Because then we can give them Jesus. Guys, there's times when we get distressed or we get stressed out in life, amen? But we don't have to live in a continual place of being stressed out. Praise God. If you get stressed out, run to Jesus, amen? Cry out to him, hallelujah. Call on him. Pour out your heart to him. And let God's peace envelop you. Let God's peace keep you. The people are starting to wake up. They're starting to realize that things are not in their control. And therefore, I need somebody who is in control to be on my side. And that'll turn them to Jesus. Hallelujah. So I believe, guys, our best days are yet ahead. Best days for the people of God and the church. Amen. Because we're going to see a harvest. It's already happening. People are starting to get hungry now. Even God's people are starting to realize that I need to get right with God. I need to get back to God. I need to be on fire for God. Amen? I've been lukewarm for too long. God says, I don't want you being lukewarm. I want you on fire for me, right? So that's a good place to be where we realize that we have a need for him because that's when we're in position to receive from him what we need to be salt and be light in society again. Hallelujah. So, guys, listen, greatness is not what the world says it is. It's not about political, social, or religious status. John had none of that, did he? How about greatness by wealth? John had none of that either. Some people measure greatness in longevity of life. John didn't have a long life either, did he? He died young. But God said that John was great. Jesus revealed the vision of the kingdom to his disciples. And then the next thing you know, he went to the cross. They were perplexed. They were overwhelmed at what happened. But on the third day, he rose again victorious from the grave. Amen. And joy came. Guys, I feel like right now we're all Many of us are struggling right now trying to sort this out and figure out what's going on right now. But I believe that God has something up ahead. There is an Elam. There is an oasis for us. There is a place for us that God has up ahead. You got to look past the moment. Amen. And with hope, grab a hold of what God has for you. Hallelujah. Know that God will sustain you in the meantime with his manna. Amen. And his provision of living water. Hallelujah. All we have need of is supplied in Christ. Amen. To guard our hearts and our minds. But while we're in this process, know that something good is about to happen. You know, I've discovered that when the devil is working overtime, when the devil is pulling out all the stops, when he's going completely crazy, it's usually a sign that he's desperate and he's trying to abort something that's on its way. And this is where we need to stand in faith and say, no, we're not going to give in to that lie. We're not going to believe that lie. Amen. We're not going to allow the devil to rob us of our faith, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We are overcomers because Christ is in us and Christ is with us. And I believe that God has something good up ahead for us here, even in America. And I'm standing in the gap. God's asking you and I right now to partner with him and to believe him for his promises to be accomplished. Hallelujah. Do you understand? God's heart is on his church. He's looking at his people and waiting, amen, for the day when we will be prepared, when we will be ready. Amen. And then the Father will send the Son to go get his children. After Jesus' death and his resurrection, they no longer debated among themselves who was going to be greatest in the kingdom. Now they would forsake their ways for his. What had to happen, guys, is the same thing that has to happen with us, is the disciples had to come to the place where there was a death to their own idea of greatness. So often, without realizing it, we are controlled by the narrative of the world and the message you're sending us. In order to be great, you have to be this Hollywood celebrity, or you have to be like them. Are you hearing me, somebody? Or are you going to have wealth? Are you going to have looks? You're going to have this, you're going to have that. And so many people are just spending all their time trying to conform to some image that is not even true to who they are, because they've been told that that's what it means to be great. And God says, if you want to be great, humble yourself, serve me, amen, and I will exalt you to inherit the land. Hallelujah. And the day will come when you see Jesus, you will hear him say, well done, you've done well. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen. There will be treasure in heaven for those who have lived for him now. So often people are pursuing the next toy, the next thing, the latest and the greatest. I think we're on iPhone 10 now, are we? Or here? Even beyond that, I don't know. I still got iPhone 1 or something, though. It's not quite, but what the world esteems, you gotta have it because, well, if you're cool if you have the latest iPhone, right? So often we are manipulated, controlled by this narrative that the world tells us. You know, in order to be somebody, in order to be great, in order to be popular, in order to be liked, you got to do this, you got to do that. How many know that's insanity? And it's also bondage. Because you live your life as a slave to what somebody else thinks about you, rather than what God says. Who God says I am. Well, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a child of the Most High God. Amen. That's who I am. That's my identity now. Hallelujah. This world is temporary. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. We're campers. Amen. We're just camping out. Don't get your roots down too deep into this world, because we're going somewhere. And it's better than what we're seeing now. You got to look past the temporal. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I think a lot of it is our own human reasoning. We rationalize and we reason things out in our own understanding. You know, Proverbs 3 tells us not to be wise in our own understanding, but to fear the Lord and to depart from evil. But our natural reasoning sometimes gets in the way. Because God doesn't do things often the way that we think he should. And that's where we need to trust God's heart, and his own wisdom is greater than our wisdom. God knows that we'll make a mess of things if we just have it our way all the time. Sometimes God's protecting you by not answering your prayer. Our reasoning has to be brought under submission to the Holy Spirit so that we might know the mind of Christ. We have to humble ourselves in our minds and say, Lord, my idea is this. What do you say? Lord, I would like to go here and do this and do that. What do you say? If it be the will of the Lord, we shall go here and do this and that, or conduct business. Hello. Well, God, I would like to leave this place. I don't like the liberal Northwest. Can I go to Texas? Them places? Chris said, no, I don't want to go to Texas. There's a reason why I left there. No. Where does God want me? That's what the question needs to be. Lord, if this is where you want me, this is where I'm going to find contentment. I'm going to make the most of this situation I'm in right now. I'm just here to do your will, to do your business. And you know what? I'm going to rejoice in you, and I'm going to give thanks. Hallelujah. How many had something to eat this morning? Praise God for that, right? Looks like everybody has something to wear today, right? Yeah. We're not in the Grecian games or anything. Okay. We had a roof over our head last night. Praise God. Amen. Transportation to get here today. Be thankful. If God says move, then move. If God says stay, stay. All right. The question is where does God want me to be, and what does he want me to do? Because that is the only thing that matters at the end of your race. Have you kept the faith? Have you fought the good fight? Did you do what God told you to do while you were given opportunity to do it? That's what we want to know, all right? We want to have joy in that day. And here Jesus said, I know who you are. I recognize you. We've been acquainted already. You didn't do your own thing and ask me to bless it. You were willing to humble yourself and do what I told you to do, even when it wasn't popular, even if there was suffering involved, even if it meant you would be rejected by your friends. You were willing to humble yourself to serve me. Now, you enter into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. I lost friends when I came to Jesus, but I found out who my true friends were after I came to Jesus. Amen. I found I have a family now. Hallelujah. And there are many of God's people here, you know, that I can trust. Because a true follower of Jesus is somebody that you can trust. They're true to their word because they follow the example of the Lord. I had a lot of fair weather friends. How about you? If you had something they wanted, they were around. Or if you were going through it, they weren't there to help you up. True greatness is something that God accomplishes in us and through us by his supernatural power. It's God who makes us great. It's God who makes us good. It's God who makes us righteous. It's God who makes us holy. It's not of me, but of him that I'm in Christ Jesus. Because of God's goodness, because of God's mercy. Amen. I'm where I'm at today. God reached down and he lifted me up. He saved me. He turned my life around. And he gave me purpose, a real reason to live. I found a new way of living. I have a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Jesus Christ is the vine. And we can bear fruit unto eternal life. Just walk with him. Humble yourself. Be willing to put his will above your own. 1 Corinthians, listen to the greatest apostle who ever lived. That was Paul. The greatest apostle. The greatest apostle, Paul. See, God uses the foolish things, doesn't he? 1 Corinthians 2:3. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but what? In demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where should your faith be? In the power of God. Not in your own wisdom. Not in your own natural ability. But in the power of God. God had a broken vessel. He had a yielded vessel. He had a submitted vessel in Paul, who was willing to do all of the will of God, even when it costs him so greatly. And he was persecuted so greatly. He still stood in there, and he was faithful to the calling to the very end. He was the greatest apostle, I believe, that ever lived. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And yet in the eyes of the world, he was despised. He was rejected. They didn't see it. Shortly after my conversion, I was going to a church in Tacoma. And I was, I was learning. And I was excited about Jesus. And I was just telling people, what I learned and what I knew, I was finding somebody to unload on. And I remember finding this little old man that came into one of the rooms where we're at, and it was after church or something. So I started just spilling on him some of the new things I learned and thinking I was so smart. I was so witty. I look how much I know, And he just, was kind of a little bent over, just a little old man, And I started talking to him, and he was kind of quiet. He didn't say much. But then when he started responding back to what I was saying, I was just kind of like, I just shrunk. I was like, oh my goodness. This guy was like a wealth of wisdom and understanding. And right away, I realized that there's more to this guy than what we see. I saw with my eyes. And I watched people, because he would walk past people, and they were all with Biff and Tad and everybody else. Who's Biff and Tad? I don't know. But they would shake hands and say, hey, how's it going? And he'd walk by, and they'd just almost elbow him as he walked by, because he was just a little shriveled up old man. And what does he know? And, guess what? He was living out on the street. Well, come to find out, I shared this with some of you, he was an evangelist in the South, in the Alabama area. He had a 23 church circuit that he used to do. He raised 5 children by himself. His wife died early, and he raised those children, and he was an evangelist, and that's how he made his living. One day, the children were all grown up, and the Lord said, I want you to give everything you have away, pack up 2 duffel bags, and move to Tacoma, Washington. And move onto the street. And minister to the people there. This guy ended up being one of my mentors. And I would go out. I take him out to lunch. We go to prison ministry together. And I come out afterwards. And we sit down and talk for hours. And he just pour into me, And it humbled me. And it brought me in the right perspective. To realize, again, being great is not always what we think it is or what the world says it is. But he was great, in my opinion, and I know in the eyes of the Lord. And he's entered into his eternal reward. God wants us to understand something, guys, that so much of what we're seeing around us is nothing more than a facade. It's an illusion. Theatrics, players on a stage, presenting an image of what the devil basically wants you to think is great, so that you chase after vanity and temporary things in hopes that he can divert you from your race, finishing your assignment, your mission, in the time frame God has allotted to you. Today is a day of salvation, healing, deliverance. God is pouring out his Spirit. He's looking for someone who will say, Lord, here am I. Send me. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to get rid of those things that would hinder you or choke the life of God out of you. Amen? Get rid of anything in your life that will hinder you. Get into position. Seek His face. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. God will empower you. God will open the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your spirit, and reveal to you your mission, your purpose in this world. And then you run the race with perseverance. You got to have a vision before you're going to know where you're going. Don't allow the devil to distract you. Don't allow the devil to keep you preoccupied with silliness and empty things of this world. One day, everything that we see, look around this room, including everybody here, one day everything will be gone. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. And when everything is removed, everything that we see in the natural is gone, what will remain? That's why God's very much concerned about our inner life. Our spirit, our character, our integrity. Amen? And that we're living for eternity. Because that which we have done in obedience to His voice, to His will, amen, out of a pure heart motivated by the love of God, those are the things that remain. That's why Jesus said, don't store up for yourself here treasures on earth. Amen? He's not opposed to you having stuff or nice things. He's saying, don't make that your life's ambition or your goal. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Prioritize God in your life and everything, amen, and bear fruit unto eternal life. And one day, once again, you'll see Jesus. And you want to hear Him say in that day what? Well done. I wrote this down. This is a contrast. If anybody wants this, let me know. But this is a contrast between man's ways to greatness and God's ways to greatness. You ready for it? Man's ways to greatness, focus on power. God's way to greatness, focus on submission. Man's ways to greatness, emphasis on freedom. God's way to greatness, emphasis on responsibility. Man's way to greatness, concern for gain. God's way, concern for giving. Man's way, yearning for the praise of men. God's way, yearning for the approval of God. Man's way, desire for immediate fulfillment. God's way, desire for lasting achievement. Man's way, aspiration to be served. You know where it's going. God's way, aspiration for serving others. Man's way, longing for self-gratification. God's way, longing for self-control. Man's way, need for pushing ahead. God's way, need for patience. Man's way, striving to lead men. God's way, striving to follow God. Man's way to greatness, interest in competition. God's way to greatness, interest in cooperation. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for today, for Your word, and that You allow us to be a part of Your family. And that we get to serve You, Lord. And God, we want to be obedient to the end. Father, I ask You to strengthen each one of us here today by Your Spirit in the inner man. Strengthen us, Lord, with might. Lord, I pray that You would open the eyes of our understanding and reveal to us Your will, Your way for us, Lord. Father, I pray that You would make Your will our desire. Father, open the eyes of our hearts to see You, to hear You, to know You, that we may follow You. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that You deliver us from evil and from anything, God, that is not of You, that we may walk with You with a pure heart. God, I ask You to give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, fill us with the knowledge of the will of God in Christ that concerns us. Watch over us, guard our hearts and our minds through these troubling days. Father, fill us with hope. Let faith arise in the hearts of your people. Your divine impartation, Lord, of grace, Lord, to strengthen our resolve to press on, Lord, and not look back. To understand here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. Here, Lord, we are. We present our bodies to you as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to you, Lord, it is our reasonable service. Have your way in me. Have your way with us, Lord. Yes, we pray your kingdom come, Holy Father, and your will be done on the earth. As in heaven, so on earth. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Guys, I want to encourage you to take the time to discover. Get in the Word. Prayer. Seek His face. Pray, seek His face. The will of God. Amen. And commit yourself to this race because we only have so much time. Amen. God bless you and keep you.